he's in a circus. I'm afraid, I hate to do this. I'm afraid to say that it is a little bit of a circus, this press conference yesterday by Mayor Stoney. I don't want to be hypercritical because people are gunning for this project. So, from a PR standpoint, maybe you don't want to tell everyone you're about to have a press conference because then you invite people to take pot shots at you. On the other hand, if they're skeptical already, you might want to give notice that you're going to have the press conference, have people ready to ask probing questions, and then be super ready to answer them and alleviate their concerns. Mayor Stoney held this press conference yesterday, and we want to play a little bit of what he had to say, and then we'll talk about it on the backside. Here's one of his comments from yesterday.
The ordinances I will deliver to the City Council on Monday propose a responsible and inclusive opportunity to grow our economy by creating a thriving city center and community through redevelopment of the historic neighborhood of Navy Hill. This project represents the largest economic development project in Richmond's history, and it also represents the largest economic empowerment project in our city's history. What we've been able to add since November are unprecedented protections for the city and our taxpayers, which makes this project a safe and responsible investment for Richmond. We've dotted the I's and crossed the T's and negotiated language in the ordinance to ensure that what we have agreed to will happen actually happens.
I appreciate what he's saying. And look, I try to be honest with you on the radio. I'm not an expert on how to finance these projects. I'm not even as familiar with these types of projects as I should be if I'm going to speak about them. So I never want to come on and just, try to snow you and act like I know what I'm talking about. If I concede from the very beginning, I don't. But I'll tell you what, I've been in Richmond for a long time, grew up here. I have heard other civic leaders talk about these great projects that, quite frankly, used to get me super excited. And then a couple of years later, they flopped, or they just weren't everything that the city leaders said they were going to be. And as a result, we burned through a lot of money and a lot of goodwill and a lot of trust in the community. So Mayor Stoney may not be aware of that because he's not a Richmond person per se. But I can't blame anybody who has skepticism about all these big promises, especially when you know that this district that he's talking about has been expanded to a point where all that tax money, if I'm understanding it correctly, and if you know better, call me in a few minutes and correct me. If all of that tax money is going into this project, then explain to me how we're not on the hook for it on some level for 30 years. I think that's really important to talk about. Now, there were some specifics that came out in this press conference yesterday. Let's play a little bit more of what the mayor had to say.
Both the new arena and the Blues Armory will remain city assets, but operations will be managed by NHDC, and the risk of any operating shortfall will be solely their responsibility. It has always been my commitment that the taxpayers of Richmond would not be on the hook for this project under any circumstances. That's why when I laid out our RFP, I said that I would not consider using the city's limited debt capacity or leverage the city's moral or general obligation to finance any part of this deal. That is why, to finance the $235 million arena, which will be the largest in Virginia, we will issue non-recourse bonds where the risk will be borne by the bondholders, not the city of Richmond.
Okay, I think I get that. And I'm appreciative of him pointing out that if there are management shortfalls, like it costs a heck of a lot of money to promote these things, and then the arena isn't filled but 20 days a year, and they were hoping that they would fill it 60 days a year or 100 days a year, that's borne by the management company. I think that makes sense. But and I have to admit, maybe I'm ignorant about it, but where's all the tax money going? So I think we need some clarity on that. And I don't know. You know, I was a TV reporter and I've covered a lot of stuff, but I still think we need some specificity here and walk us through it. Walk us through every element of this and answer. If you think they're stupid questions, go ahead and answer them and explain why they're so stupid. I usually, when I hesitate to ask a stupid question, about an hour later, I realize that it wasn't a stupid question at all, that there were a bunch of other people in the room who were thinking the same thing but were too embarrassed to ask it, and it often lets people get off the hook. So now I just ask those questions. But did you listen to this yesterday? Have you read the stories this morning and heard these clips throughout the morning here on our program? What do you think? After Sixth Street Marketplace, the Riverwalk, which is that one's been maybe somewhat successful. I don't know. It's certainly not San Antonio's Riverwalk, which is what everybody compared it to when I was covering it at the TV station. And then, of course, the theater issue, which, you know, I love the theater. I love going to the symphony and the shows, but I'm not sure that it's really lived up to the hype that was pitched for that one. Don't you have concerns about this? All right. In just a moment, we're going to come back and take your phone calls and you tell me what you think about it. Whether you're a new Richmond or an old Richmond, or what do you think? Especially if you want the city to be successful, is this the way to go about doing it? And what questions would you ask if you could of the mayor? 345-1140. We'll take your calls in a moment.
Hey, John.
Here on News Radio WRVA.
Just to interrupt real quick.
Oh.
I do have a little bit more audio from the mayor. It immediately follows what he was saying about the non-recourse bonds. It does include some information about where the tax revenue goes.
You want to do that now? Or
yeah, I'll just go ahead and play it right now. It's okay. Kind of short.
We will issue non-recourse bonds where the risk will be borne by the bondholders, not the city of Richmond. And will be paid back only with incremental tax revenue. Let me be clear. Only incremental revenues will go to the repayment of bonds. Additionally, we have negotiated a baseline start date of July 1, 2019, so that no revenues we are using to balance our budget today are diverted to the increment financing area. This will protect the revenues we used to make record investments in schools, roads, transit, and housing in this year's budget.
There you go.
What do you think? Call us at a moment, 345-1140. Back in just a second on News Radio WRVA. 345-1140. 345-1140. That's the number to call if you have got thoughts about this Coliseum project that was unveiled again for, if we're keeping count, what, second or third time by Mayor Stoney. What do you think of this? Especially if you're a longtime Richmonder like I am and you've seen these projects come and go and you've gotten so excited about them. Oh, my gosh, we're going to have the Riverwalk just like San Antonio. And then I hate to repeat something that was ugly that people said at the time, but when they unveiled the Riverwalk and the water was in it and the little boats were floating around, some people said that it was nothing more than a glorified ditch with boats in it. And I really couldn't argue with them. It's gotten better over the years. There's some restaurants down there now. And then you talk about Sixth Street Marketplace and, you know, the theater projects. And I love all this stuff. I want Richmond to be successful. But, I mean, come on. We've got a credibility crisis just with City Hall in Richmond, regardless of who the mayor is. What do you think? Antoinette, you're first on News Radio WRVA. What do you think?
Enjoy your show. I am not in favor of what Stoney is trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to go just by the wayside, like you said, the Riverwalk, the Sixth Street Marketplace, which I was super excited about, and what they decided to do and how they ruined it. And they're going to do it again.
Now, what happened with Sixth Street Marketplace, in your opinion? Why do you think that failed?
In my opinion, they did not want outside vendors in there. They wanted the local people and these people. And I can understand. They wanted their own business. Well, they had no idea how to run a business, let alone promote something like the Sixth Street Marketplace.
Right. Antoinette, so that gives you a lot of credibility because you're remembering it exactly as I remembered it unfolding in the 80s.
Yeah, they had too many minority businesses that did not attract all the conventions that we got brought into the Marriott Center and all that stuff. These women would have loved going to a place where they could have shopped for really neat stuff. I lived for several years in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and they had a marketplace there that was awesome. And I'm worried now. I haven't been to Baltimore for some time. I did enjoy going up there to their Riverside. I love going over to Norfolk to their Riverside. They've all gone by the wayside.
Yeah. Well, there is a problem. There's a cycle in all that stuff. And, of course, you know, these days a lot of the malls are closing, or the stores in the malls are closing. So I think there's a bigger issue with that. But, even if you love Mayor Stoney, and a lot of people have, it's 50-50, right? People love or hate the elected mayor. I just feel like there's a lot. He doesn't have the credibility to sell this thing on his own. I appreciate the call, Antoinette. Joe, you're next on WRVA. What do you think?
Yeah, good morning. It's not what I think. It's what I'd like to know. Maybe you could put out a definition of what a non-recourse bond is. Just by the sound of it, it would seem that whoever the bond buyer is has less options, which would mean they'd have to offer a higher percentage return on it. Mm-hmm. And number two, in the clip, he used the word incremental tax payments. Well, of course they're incremental. You're not going to give everyone their money back that they just gave you, you know. So maybe you could help with some definitions for the common folk out
Well,
here.
That's why I think this has been rolled out incorrectly, because those are legitimate questions. You're echoing exactly what was going through my head as I listened to this. And I'm not a specialist in it. And you know, I've never been involved in these big projects for the finance side. So, you know, this is why it's great when you've got reporters who've actually been in the industry and they know what questions, and they can tell when somebody's trying to pull the wool over your eyes, and they can ask smart questions. And one of the things I do on the radio is I know a lot about a lot, but I'm not deep on some subjects. And we've got to get answers to those questions. And I think it's legitimate for you to ask them. I mean, you're smart enough to ask the question, and they need to explain it, walk us through it. I appreciate it, Joe. Rob, you're next on News Radio WRVA. What are your thoughts?
Sure. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, if you go, like you said, when you go down there, it's ridiculous. It's like a ghost town.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of people are moving out. I just am looking forward to it. I mean, the jobs that it's going to bring, the fact that they're putting the
Well, you sound optimistic. Do you have faith in the mayor? You think he can pull this off? You think he's shooting straight with people, or is this politics? Well, like, promise you something big and then walk away?
It's the fact that it's the biggest project, and it would be the biggest arena. I mean, it just gives me goosebumps, and I believe with the help of Mr. Farrell, I think that the mayor is a smart guy. I've talked to him. He's smart, and I feel like he's trustworthy. And if I have to put my trust in him, I would.
Rob, I appreciate it. I mean, that's candid. And listen, I'm excited about it, too. If this thing could work, that'd be great. I'm a little skeptical about the claims that they can fill that arena in Richmond on a regular basis. I mean, that worries me. That worries me. Can we really fill that arena throughout the year with those numbers? I'd like to think so, but I'm not convinced about that. Appreciate the call. Gary, you're next on News Radio WRVA.
Good morning,
what do you
John.
Think? Good morning.
If I was a restaurant owner or business owner in the city of Richmond, I would be worried right now, because you know the taxes are going to go up. And if they're building this huge arena, we don't have a professional sports team here. How are you going to fill it?
I think that's a good question, especially after what the last at least a year now where there haven't been events coming through Richmond that would fill a Coliseum. It doesn't take long for all these promoters to say, you know what, the Richmond people, they'll drive to Charlottesville to the arena there. And, I mean, how many times have I done this show in the morning and told you how tired I was because I drove up to D.C. to see a concert in D.C.? I think they probably, you know, nothing against my hometown, but I think a lot of these promoters would rather do an event in D.C. They've got more potential customers up there. So, I mean, that's I think you're right. I think that's a real potential problem. We'll keep talking about it. When we come back, we'll talk to Nick Freitas, the delegate who may.
And we're going downtown.
So people who live in the counties look at the city of Richmond and go, what is going on there? For months, we have been talking about this redevelopment project for the Richmond Coliseum, tearing the old building down. 48 years old, kind of hurts me since I've had so many great experiences there, and building a new one, and then all this other construction that in this dream world will go up around it. It's $1.5 billion project now. Well, Jason Roop, the former editor of Style Weekly and the founder of the public relations firm Spring Story, is with us now. And you were watching really closely yesterday when these emails came out saying that Mayor Stoney had a big announcement to make and he was going to unveil this proposal for the second or third time. I didn't know that was going to happen yesterday. Did you?
Yeah, well, we all had heard rumblings the day before. And, you know, John, they really jerked the local media outlets around about this because, you know, in the end, they ended up giving officially 90 minutes of notice to run down for this major press conference. When we started hearing from people who were involved in the press conference, kind of behind the scenes, like, oh, you might want to be ready, this might be coming. I asked the press secretary yesterday morning at 9:30, should we be prepared for something this afternoon? Because, you know, the TV stations have to load up the crews, get down there, set up. They have to plan their day. A lot of the smaller outlets need to hire freelancers if other people aren't available. And we weren't given an answer. And that was at 9:30 in the morning. So instead of just saying, yes, we can't tell you what it's about, but be ready for something, we didn't hear from the press secretary's office until 90 minutes before the event was set to start. Obviously, a planned event. They had, you know, visuals there. They had officials there, contractors, other people involved in the project. So no reason to hold a press conference that way.
It's weird, though, because
it's not an emergency.
You also want reporters to do a little homework before they show up so that they
can. Well, maybe you don't, John. I mean, that's one idea. Is that maybe they, you know, at first, when the mayor went to answer questions, the press secretary said we have time for two questions.
Come on.
And fortunately, the reporters did jump in and start asking more until they were cut off. But, you know, I think this was about kind of drumming up some urgency. And I've heard from many other outlets and reporters about the same issue. They feel the same way, and it isn't the first time they've been treated this way. So that's how this all got off on a start with the reporters yesterday. But, you know, the project is interesting. It now goes to City Council at a special session on Monday. They're going to get all the paperwork. All the stuff is going to be posted online, so that'll be nice. Everybody can read it for themselves. It'll be transparent and visible, finally. But what's really going to be interesting is to watch the timeline because, you know, City Council has a citizen commission that they've established to review this plan and provide recommendations. That citizen commission is not seated yet. It has a chairman and a vice chairman, two experts, one a former Secretary of Transportation, one an expert in the leisure industry. They are going to appoint members, recommend members. City Council appoints them. Once they're seated, they'll have 90 days to review this project. So I find it hard to imagine that this will even be, you know, voted on at City Council before the November elections, when we will have a new council member. We might have a referendum on the ballot that talks about whether, you know, might affect a significant aspect of this project. So I think this will be going on, you know, through the end of the year.
Well, that was my next question. Did you talk to Paul Goldman? Because he was pushing for those signatures on a referendum to have the voters actually decide whether they even want to go forward with this. I thought he got the signatures to force that onto the ballot.
I did. Paul Goldman was kind of referenced, not by name, at the press conference yesterday when a reporter asked about the referendum. And Mayor Stoney said, he's moving forward with the project. Either way, he doesn't have time to worry about political stunts. He called this petition of 15,000 constituents a political stunt. What will happen is Paul Goldman's signatures need to be approved by the courts. And then the General Assembly really has the final say on whether this will go on the ballot. So that is of concern to some people about whether they will listen to citizens and put this referendum on, or will they bend to other pressures and maybe just throw it out. So we're waiting to find out whether this will go on the November ballot.
I still think Mayor Stoney's got to get Tom Farrell out there to explain all this. He's, no offense to the mayor, but I think he's got more credibility than the mayor and his team does. But anyway, I want to ask you about Carytown, too. This new parking deal where you've got to pay to park in the deck down there, that's got a lot of folks who run businesses pretty concerned that that's just enough to drive people away and keep them out of Carytown, right?
Yeah. Well, I think we'll just have to see what the reaction is. The parking situation changes on August 12th, and it only affects two of the lots that are there. One's right behind the Bird Theater. One's kind of behind the McDonald's there at Crenshaw Avenue. And they're changing it from free parking to $1. So, you know, most folks, I think, are going to probably, if they want to find an easy spot, they'll just park there and throw $1 in. But it is a big change.
Why did they do $1? Were people parking like their van there and leaving it for a week? And so they just need to have a reason to get rid of those people? Or
I'm not sure. I haven't heard about that. My impression is that they're simply trying to, you know, it's the Carytown Merchants Association, and they want to just, you've got to have a little money to keep those decks in good shape and keep them running. So they also are going to be charging for monthly parking, which will be another option. And maybe I don't know that they're going to, you know, raise a fortune at $1 parking.
Okay.
But besides monthly options, maybe.
I assume some people will go to Carytown this weekend. What else can they do if they're trying to get out and about with this?
Yeah, well, there's tonight at the Altria Theater is Jim Gaffigan. If this rain keeps going, you might need to get inside somewhere.
Right.
He's holding two shows, Jim at 7 and 9, the comedian. There's a craft beer festival at the Virginia Museum of History and Culture. One of the interesting things about that, this is on Saturday, they have a little portion where they find an old historic beer recipe and ask the breweries to kind of come up with their own interpretation of that recipe. And then, speaking of drinking and eating, there's a festival of cheese coming to Richmond for the first time on Saturday. We have a lot of cheese already, John, but we're going to get a 100 different varieties and more at this at the Greater Convention, Richmond Convention Center. Yeah. So it's kind of like, they have that big wine festival down there. So it's like that, except cheese. You walk around and you can sample cheeses and buy what you want to buy. So if you like cheese, this is the place to be and stock up.
Hmm. I mean, you know what? You'll have to tell us on Monday whether that gets a big crowd or not. It sounds interesting. Hey, Jason Roop, I always enjoy talking to you, the former editor of Style Weekly and the head of the PR firm Spring Story. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Back with more in a moment here on News Radio WRVA.